Words About Books is a poorly spoken podcast. It is a book club event where we talk about books and also, in this case, a prolonged discussion on H.P. Lovecraft. I'm Nate, and as always, I'm joined by my handsome co-host, Ben.
Yes, as Nate said, we are doing a Deep in the Crease episode on Howard Phillips Lovecraft.
Oh, is that what HP stands for?
That is what HP stands for.
I think he made the right decision just going by HP.
So his name is Howard. Phillips is his mother's maiden name, and Lovecraft is his father's name. Nate, I guess before we jump into it, as always, I'm going to ask, how much do you know about H.P. Lovecraft? Because as of this recording, you still haven't read anything he's written.
Yeah, I was actually going to open with this, so I'm glad you asked. You're going to be steering. Well, I'm going to be asking you questions. You're the one who's going to be providing pretty much all the information, though. Because, yeah, I haven't read any of Lovecraft's works. I know about him basically through cultural osmosis. I think it was, what, in like the early 2010s, he started being brought up again in like indie video games. And actually, that's probably where I've been exposed to his concepts the most. So, yeah, also Arkham Horror, the board game.
This is a Deep in the Crease episode, but I did actually base my research on two books that I will recommend. So you've read none of H.P. Lovecraft's work, whereas I have read every story he's ever written.
Wow.
Literally read every piece of published fiction and one nonfiction piece that he has written. And the first book I'm basing my research on is actually a very terrible title, especially for like search engine optimization. The book's title is In the Mountains of Madness, The Life and Extraordinary Afterlife of H.P. Lovecraft by W. Scott Poole. And if you look that up, you're just going to find many, many copies of At the Mountains of Madness, the H.P. Lovecraft story that is far more famous. So
there's also a game based on the Mountains of Madness. So,
oh, there definitely is. And the second is, a long time ago, I bought, and this is actually what I read all of H.P. Lovecraft stuff in, I bought the Barnes & Noble Classic edition of the H.P. Lovecraft Complete Fiction.
Is that not cheating? I feel like that's cheating.
How is that cheating?
It's just a compilation. It's not the original work, Ben.
I feel like what
you're
do you
not,
mean?
I feel like you're not being dedicated, okay? You're not going to old thrift stores in New England looking for original works of H.P. Lovecraft.
Well, we'll get started right off the bat with something you clearly do not know, is that the overwhelming majority of his stuff was not published until after he died.
Ah.
And the stuff that was published during his lifetime was short stories published in magazines.
Is it because he was like a creepy weirdo and he couldn't sell his own books until after he was dead, and someone who was more marketable could come along and do it for him?
You are more right than you may suspect in a lot of ways. I wouldn't quite put it that way. There were numerous factors contributing to why H.P. Lovecraft did not get published more during his lifetime. Not the least of which is he hated typing his work. He would often just not type a script to send in. He would just let it be handwritten and then be like, ah, it's too much trouble to type. I'm just not going to do it.
What the hell is wrong with him?
A lot. Oh, so much. But
okay. All right.
So the second book was that Barnes & Noble Classics edition, which I recommend. And the parts of it, we're not going to talk about his fiction in this podcast. We're going to talk about that in several subsequent podcasts. But the reason I recommend that is because it comes with an introduction and commentary by a man named S.T. Joshi. He is an Indian gentleman, and that's going to become important just because it's a little interesting. S.T. Joshi is like the go-to guy on Lovecraft. He is the world's foremost Lovecraft scholar, and he is a person of color.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. First of all, was something deeply wrong with this guy?
Joshi?
Yeah. To dedicate himself to become a Lovecraft scholar was something...
There's a lot of Lovecraft scholars, actually.
Okay.
There's a whole Necronomicon convention held in Providence.
Oh, that pun. God damn.
There's also the other Lovecraft scholar that comes to mind is Robert Price, who he's basically famous for two things. He's famous for being a Lovecraft scholar and also doubting the historical existence of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's what he does.
Good start. Good start.
Yeah. So but yeah, Joshi is a person of color, which Lovecraft would have hated. And he is the world's first and foremost Lovecraft scholar. And that is an interesting relationship. I don't know a lot about Joshi's work outside of Lovecraft. I think he's a writer in his own right. And I think that's how he got into Lovecraft. And that's going to be something we're going to kind of talk about in this Deep in the Crease, is that Lovecraft seems to touch a lot of marginalized communities. Well, his work seems to touch a lot of marginalized communities. Communities that Lovecraft himself was just virulently bigoted against. And it's really actually the subject of numerous books. How do we reconcile that?
That actually sounds like a subject I would be willing to read more about, because I would not expect people of color or any minority group to like Lovecraft. Is it Lovecraft's work itself, or is it the person? I assume it's his work.
They like, you mean, do they like his work or the person?
Do they like him personally, or is it just his work that touches them?
So it's a strange thing, because Lovecraft, more than anyone else I can think of, is a character in his own right. Like, there are numerous stories that feature H.P. Lovecraft as a character, and they seem to want to make him out to be this dark, brooding guy who, like, the common theme with H.P. Lovecraft being portrayed as a character in fiction is that the eldritch beings that he wrote about, he actually somehow made contact with, and that the Necronomicon was real, and that H.P. Lovecraft was this, like, dark wizard.
There is a little bit of that in the... Oh, crap. In 14.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
They mentioned Lovecraft. They mentioned that one of the guys who worked on the project in 14, Lovecraft was like his nephew or something. And Lovecraft heard all of these stories from that guy. And that's where Lovecraft got the inspiration from.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that seems to be what happens a lot, is people try to rehabilitate Lovecraft or reimagine Lovecraft. So there's, I don't know that I'd say that anybody likes Lovecraft, the man, the historical... The historical Lovecraft.
I can't tell you that anyone likes this person.
Well, there are definitely people that like him. Well, Joshi seems to like him, or at least respect him. And he had friends, but...
He doesn't seem the type.
He did have friends.
Okay.
There's...
See, again, I don't know anything about him, so maybe you'll educate me. I just haven't heard good things about him.
Let's start at the beginning with Lovecraft. So Lovecraft was born, I want to say, in the late 1800s. And his mother was Sarah Susan Phillips. And his father, I always forget his dad's name. I think it was Winfield Lovecraft.
She made the right decision, by the way. She married someone with a more interesting last name.
Well, you may come to doubt that she made the right decision here in a few seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
So Sarah Susan came from a kind of aristocratic, wealthy-ish New England family, and Winfield Lovecraft was a traveling silverware salesman.
Perfect. It's a respectable business back in the day, I'm sure, Ben.
I can't remember exactly how old Lovecraft was when the incident happened.
The incident?
Yes.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
First off, Sarah Susan's family did not like this marriage.
I can't imagine why. Did they ever get, like, knife salesmen to their front door? Did they not enjoy that experience so much? I know I've had that experience. It's amazing. I recommend being sold knives by random people who come by your door.
I've never had that experience in my life.
That is unfortunate. You're missing out.
So
let's get to the incident.
Things were initially going okay. The Lovecrafts lived independently of her family. The dad was making money, and it was looking like they were going to be able to buy a plot of land and build a house and have a nice life. And then one day, when the dad is out selling silverware in some town somewhere.
So back up real quick. They were going to make enough money to buy a plot of land and build a house off of a silverware selling gig.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a world where you can buy land with a job like that? God.
I can't imagine a world where I will ever buy land. So
like, holy shit. What a wonderful and magical time. All right.
No. See? That's where you're wrong. Because there's a lot of other things that happened during that time that weren't nearly as good. Most of them to Lovecraft. So, Winfield Lovecraft is traveling to sell silverware. And one night, he like bursts out of his hotel ranting and raving. I forget what his exact claims were. It was something like, there's a man upstairs murdering my wife. His wife wasn't even upstairs. He was alone. And he was just ranting and raving. So this being late 1800s, early 1900s, the doctors gave him the best medical attention they could
at
the time.
Oh, God.
Somebody came along, grabbed him, and shot him full of morphine.
Nice. Perfect.
Right. And so he gets shot full of morphine. Nobody knows what the fuck was going on, what that was about. He wakes up still crazy. And they come to find out he had syphilis, and it was at a very advanced stage.
Oh, God.
Sarah Susan's family paid for his medical treatment as it
was. His medical treatment like two bullets? Like, they didn't even have penicillin back then.
Correct. So his medical treatment was he was put in an insane asylum until he died.
Oh, God.
Painfully of syphilis-related complications as he descended rapidly into dementia.
Yeah, the buying the plot of land sounds great. Not so much the medical care.
Yeah. So I believe Winfield Lovecraft survived for another 5 years, but he was basically a non-entity in young Howard's life. The family did not quite tell Lovecraft what was going on, but Lovecraft was old enough that he probably got some version of what actually happened. It was a gossipy New England town. The husband of a wealthy, or the son-in-law, I guess, of a wealthy family had been rendered completely insane, had made a fool of himself, and they shut him up in an insane asylum, never to be seen again. That kind of destroyed his mom a little bit. When his father eventually died, it was a really bad time for the Lovecraft family. I think this might have been the first time HP thought about committing suicide.
How old was he?
7-ish.
Jesus.
So another thing you should know about HP Lovecraft is he had a strange childhood. He learned to read at an absurdly early age. I want to say he was definitely reading a little bit by age like 2, and he was reading Greek mythology by age 4. And his grandfather was this kind of adventurous guy who was super into the Greek and Roman era, and he had all these artifacts from all around the world, from his travels, and he gave Lovecraft all these books, and he had this immense library, and he basically left Lovecraft totally enamored with Greek mythology, to the point where I don't know if this is true exactly, but The Phillips family wasn't especially religious, nor were the Lovecrafts, but at some point, Sarah Susan did try to enroll Lovecraft in a Sunday school, and Lovecraft, he didn't last long in Sunday school, because from his enthusiastic embracing of Greek mythology, he became a staunch atheist, and I would dare say a staunch anti-Christian. He viewed the Christian conquest of Europe as like the downfall of the good times. He apparently got into an argument with his Sunday school teacher that the Romans never should have been infected with that Syrian cult.
And then they beat him, right? The nuns just whooped his ass, out a yardstick and just went to town on him.
Well, I don't think this was a Catholic school. There weren't nuns.
Ah, oh, there's your problem right there.
Yeah, he got kicked out. or left. I don't know, but he didn't make it very long in Sunday school. He did not like Christianity at all. He thought it was bland, boring, stupid, hated it. Loved Greek myth, loved 1001 Arabian Nights. He had a very, and this is going to come up often in Lovecraft's fiction, he has a very made up idea of what Arabia was like. He also got introduced to Grimm's fairy tales and just all this stuff that he was probably a little too young for. Starting at the age of 6, he started having night terrors that probably persisted through his entire life. He claimed in at least one source that it started when his grandfather or his grandmother had died. And around that same time, his grandfather had given him a copy of Paradise Lost to read. And that copy of Paradise Lost had been illustrated by Gustave Doré, who, if you look up any Gustave Doré paintings, they're very macabre. And you could definitely see a young Lovecraft really, really embracing that. But the images of the devils flying around Lucifer with their bat-like wings and everything, it gave Lovecraft this monster that visited him in the night. He claimed to be harassed by what he called night gaunts, which were devil-like, insectoid-faced, amphibian-skinned monsters. And that's another thing you're going to see a lot with Lovecraft, is he likes to add animal parts together to an almost ridiculous point, where it's like he's got the face of an octopus, the wings of a bat, the hooves of a horse, the tail of a zebra. It's just
a man made out of other men.
Yes. So Lovecraft was...
So he was an atheist who believed in devils.
You're going to start to see a lot of contradictions take place. I don't think Lovecraft actually ever believed in any supernatural entity.
Did he ever have syphilis or some sort of...
Lord, no.
Okay.
No. No. Lovecraft's thing was he really liked the imagery, and they were almost like superhero comics for him. Like, he didn't think the Greek gods were real, but he enjoyed that world. And that's why he found Christianity so bland by comparison.
He didn't like the power of Jesus curing people with kindness.
It's tough to say, because Lovecraft, well, he definitely didn't like it, but
he liked the glory days.
A lot of what we have of Lovecraft's childhood comes from Lovecraft writing decades later. And
he didn't think to like exaggerate how great he was, or did he?
Absolutely. He exaggerated how great he was. He told the story of how he like the story of him arguing with the teacher about the Syrian cult of Christianity and blah, blah, blah.
Did that actually happen, do you think? Or was it just like, I thought it, and when they called on me, I didn't respond. Just take that.
Some version of it actually happened, okay. But I doubt he put her in her place quite the way he described doing.
Did he move her to tears?
I doubt it. I think he just came
in
off
his version. did he move her to tears?
In his version, he totally like schooled her, and
she rejected her faith, and
basically she became an atheist on the spot. He upset all the other children in the class, and it was this whole big thing, and he was so smart, and
so okay, so hold on, let me just look at what Lovecraft looks like. Okay, I pictured him as like balding, but okay. The way you're telling me the story, I just picture him with a kid's body, but his adult head just kind of on top of on top of his shoulders. Is that accurate?
You could look up a picture of him as a child. There are pictures.
Okay, his genre, it says weird fiction.
That's what he called it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me. Yeah, he does look remarkably similar to his childhood self.
While we're on the subject of his childhood and his education, as it were, he didn't have much of an education. They tried enrolling him in junior high. That lasted maybe a year. He didn't like it. To his credit, I guess, I think he did probably outpace junior high by the time he was enrolled in it. At that time, I think they were mostly covering like books that were just beneath his reading level. I think he did legitimately learn how to read at a very young age, and he was reading very advanced things from a young age.
And yet, junior high too much?
Junior high, I suspect what was happening
was the social aspect?
I don't know. This is the interesting thing about Poole's book on Lovecraft is if you read a lot of Lovecraft biographies, there is a lot made of his mother ruining him, that his mother was just this oppressive force in his life that kept him from really breaking out of his shell. I don't know that that's the case, and I think Poole makes a good argument that that might not fully be the case either. There were a couple of things going on in his mom's life. She was overprotective.
Like breaking out of his shell as in just socializing with other kids?
Socializing with other kids, really like establishing himself on his own. Basically having, she encouraged his interests. She encouraged his, like she bought him chemistry sets. She bought him telescopes. He was very into amateur chemistry, amateur astronomy. She encouraged his literature pursuits and all that stuff, but she seemed to like having him around the house.
Now, to be fair, did they know how syphilis worked back then?
I don't
know. Was she afraid that if he went away, he too would become a crazy person they would have to lock up forever?
Oh, well, yeah, they did know. I mean, they knew it was sexually transmitted, yeah.
Did she have syphilis?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So the father was maybe not faithful, or was it?
That's the impression we get. Well, actually, I think by the time he married her, he had had it for years.
Okay. So how did she not get it?
I don't know. It's possible she did. Maybe she died before the symptoms really took hold. She didn't go insane or anything like that, but it's surprising there's not a lot of records. So she was, before her death, institutionalized.
So that's why I asked if maybe he had syphilis, because if she got it before having him, there's a possibility of transmitting it to him.
I don't think he had syphilis. There's really nothing in his background. He died of stomach cancer.
Okay.
He never went insane. He seemed to have all his faculties until the day he died. I don't know if that always happens with syphilis, but I didn't detect anything in his own personal history that...
Well, there are three stages of syphilis, so it's possible he never progressed.
He was basically spoiled, I would say. Like, I don't get the vibe that his mother was abusive or overbearing, but it's like young Lovecraft comes home and says, "I don't like junior high." Well, no shit. No one does. But Sarah Susan says, "Oh, my poor baby. Well, we will get you right out of that school." And so she takes him out of school. That's the kind of relationship I think they had, is that whatever young Howard wanted, young Howard got.
Okay.
He did eventually try high school.
What a terrible idea. Couldn't even cut it through junior high. What are you doing in high school? Just cut your losses, man.
He did all right in high school. He actually made some friends.
What?
Yeah. He had two friends in high school who hung out with him. They formed the Providence, like, Amateur Astronomy Society or something. Or, the Providence Astronomical Society. Okay. It was just the three of them. But Lovecraft had a... I totally forget what it's called, but it was one of the early ways you could do self-publishing. It was kind of like a jury-rigged printing press.
The old Amazon? No?
Yeah, okay. Kind of. But it was this gel-based mold you could make like a...
I thought he hated printing things, so...
He liked printing this when he was a kid.
Okay.
I don't know.
A gel-based he did it for fun. Printing mold.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how we need to distribute our book.
Yeah, that's what we need.
That'll put us on top.
I forget what it was called. Like a hectograph or something? It's something like that. But he had one, he printed this little...
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. So he printed that little journal with his friends, but high school didn't work out for him. He had what he called a near nervous breakdown.
How near nervous?
It's tough to, I'm sure you know better than I do, psychoanalyze someone retroactively, like without speaking to them.
Actually, it's really easy. You can put whatever label you want on them.
I suspect what he actually experienced was a panic attack. I think he had major anxiety issues and depression issues. He talks about, for the rest of his life, he casually mentions his plans to commit suicide over and over and over.
And the mental health at the time was, we'll put you in an insane asylum next to your dad, and
yeah,
you'll be safe. And there you go. That's all you get. Good luck.
Yeah.
It hasn't come much further than that. All right.
So I did make a note I found in my notes. His first thoughts of suicide were at age 14, or at least his first, like, recorded thoughts of suicide. He thought about drowning himself.
What a shitty way to go.
Well, he had gone so far in his logic as to think he could shoot himself. He had access to a gun, but he didn't want his mother to find him. And he didn't want to, like, ruin his corpse. So he thought about drowning as a way to minimize the trauma to his family.
Yeah, so he has a plan, and he has means, he has access. Sounds pretty bad. That would be a high-risk patient right there.
I do definitely think he had a lifelong struggle with depression and anxiety.
I wouldn't be surprised based on what you're telling me. In fact, I'm almost certain that's the case. I'm willing to put a label on him now. Boom. He's diagnosed with depression and anxiety.
Things really got bad for Lovecraft around the time his grandfather died. His grandfather had made several, I don't know, well, maybe I shouldn't say several. He'd made at least one really bad investment, and that blew a lot of the family's money. And then his uncle made another bad investment, and that blew most of the rest of the family's
nice.
Money.
Great.
Lovecraft and his mom had to move out of the house that he loved, with all the Greek stuff and all the books and all that. And he basically falls off the map at this point. For 6 years between the time he leaves high school and the time his mother dies, nobody hears a word from Lovecraft. And Lovecraft never writes about this time.
Hmm.
And so a lot of Lovecraft biographers, this is where they start to, like, insert weird nonsense.
He was out lifting weights, getting strong.
Basically that his mother guilted him into staying, or that he...
Okay, but let's be fair here. Where else would he have gone?
So...
Sounds like he didn't finish junior high or high school. So would you have been able to go to university back then with without doing that?
Oh, this is the best. So Lovecraft, Lovecraft had pen pals. Back in the 1920s, amateur journalism was kind of its own niche subculture. Amateur journalism doesn't necessarily refer to amateur like reporting or what we call journalism today. It's more like journal, like I publish a journal of blank. So this was amateur publishers, basically. And he got into this. He got into pulp magazines. He wrote a lot of letters to the editor. And by writing letters to the editor, he basically kind of got into this, like, what the rough equivalent today would be, like, an online circle of friends.
Ye old Reddit.
Yeah, really. It really was like a subreddit.
I don't know why I'm saying ye old. This is like the turn of the century, isn't it? It's not that long ago.
But it was the first kind of like long distance networking of nerd culture. And that's something Poole writes a lot about in his book. He tries to focus more on the cultural side of Lovecraft and how he influenced things. But Lovecraft was definitely involved in all this amateur journalism, and he had a circle of friends that he wrote to. And they talked about everything from like politics, unfortunately, to the stories of the time, the people of the time, the writers they liked. And one of those people he exchanged letters with was a woman named Sonia Green. And only roughly 6 months after his mother died, Lovecraft found himself married and living in New York City.
So is that why they're trying to say the mother guilted him into staying? As soon as she was out of the way, he was out and married?
That is a point that has been brought up, yes. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think Lovecraft, she did probably mother him a little too much. She did not push him enough to get out and make something of himself. I'm going to go ahead and say, though, that once we haven't really got into the, like, some of the really terrible ideas and opinions he had yet, but we're going to get there.
Oh, we're going to get there.
When we do, well, this is also the time he had that stupid cat.
Oh.
So his grandfather had died and his cat ran away, which I laughed at.
Horrible.
Because that was just like, oh,
just
Lovecraft.
The icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Your grandfather's dead and also your cat's gone. Fuck
to
you.
Be fair, so this is the very famous cat that he named after a racial slur.
So this is when he was in high school that he named it after a racial slur? God, okay.
Yes.
That leads Lovecraft... puts it into a little more context, although, I mean, he never grows out of being a...
No, he doubles down in a lot of ways.
God damn it. All right.
So this is, he had a cat named a racial slur. You can look it up if you want. It's disgusting. Lovecraft had probably never met a single non-white person in his life at this point. But he knew Lovecraft hates everyone, okay? He hates everyone who isn't Anglo-Saxon or German for some reason. Like, Lovecraft is one of those people who doesn't like the Irish. He doesn't like Italians, despite being obsessed with Rome. He probably wouldn't like Greeks, despite being obsessed with Greek mythology. He like, has written letters throughout his lifetime about how the Romans degenerated over time. But this is the complicated thing with Lovecraft, is how do you reconcile liking this guy's work when he's such a disgusting asshole? And this is something I struggle with to this day, and that's half the reason I wanted to do this episode before we talk about him, because you have to know about him. My own interpretation of it is that Lovecraft, people blame Sarah Susan, his mother, for a lot of why he was the way he was, but I'm just going to go ahead and say Lovecraft had, in addition to his anxiety and his depression, he had a massive inferiority complex.
That is something I was thinking of when he was saying all that shit about, like, oh, I put that nun in her place. And
he wrote to other people saying that the reason he didn't attend Brown University in his hometown is because of his health problems.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay.
Is it also because you didn't finish junior high or high school? Is that
Yeah, it's because he did not mention he dropped out. He didn't say that he didn't drop out. He didn't say that he finished high school, but the way he writes the letter implies that he finished high school and then had a health problem that prevented him from going on to university. And that is not the case. I have some sympathy for him in this regard, in that
he did have a mental health disorder for sure.
I have really bad anxiety. It's under control now, but it started when I was in college and I had to take 2 years off.
Oh shit, was it 2 years? I thought it was only the one.
I had to take a year off, and then when I went back, I had been so messed up and just not going to class. I was on academic probation. I couldn't actually so they blocked all my financial aid. I couldn't actually afford to go back full time. So I had to go back part-time, get my grades up, and then I could go back full-time, and I wound up graduating 2 years late because of that. So I get it. I had the benefit of therapy and medication. And Lovecraft...
And those did not exist back
then. Yeah, those weren't options for him. But you know what I didn't do during that time? I didn't blame everyone else in the world for my problems. I didn't blame, like, the degeneracy of the Roman Empire for why things aren't good anymore. Like, that's where my sympathy runs out for him.
Did he blame women? The sexual delinquency of women, which has caused the downfall of our civilization. Did he do that?
I don't know that he thought highly of women, but Lovecraft's relationship
was more racial stuff then.
Well, here's the thing. I think Lovecraft honestly loved his mother, and it was the women in his life who supported him financially his entire life. Lovecraft never supported himself financially his entire life. He lived off his mother, then his wife, then his aunts.
Wow.
And throughout his childhood, it was his grandfather encouraged him in a lot of ways, but also his mother bought him science stuff. His aunts encouraged him in astronomy. His grandmother encouraged him in astronomy. His aunts also encouraged his scientific pursuits. Like, he didn't hate women. I don't think he ever hated women, but he did adopt that sort of toxic masculine standard of the time, that he was the gentleman and he was in charge simply because he was a man, even though his existence depended entirely on the generosity of the women in his life. But I don't think he ever actually hated them. He didn't hate women the way he hated immigrants. And this is going to blow your mind, Nate.
I'm sure it is. I'm preparing myself.
I told you, you might want to sit down. You all okay. Might want to sit down.
I'm sitting down. I am resting comfortably at the back of my chair so I won't fall out of it. All right,
what
lay it
kind
on.
Of what kind of woman do you think H.P. Lovecraft married? Who do you imagine this woman to be?
Oh fuck. Okay, let me think of what it couldn't possibly be. It's going to be someone who's really outgoing and popular and successful and wealthy and also pretty.
Those things are all relatively true.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so it's not going to be... It's not a black person. You're not going to blow my mind with that, right?
It's not, no.
Okay, all right. It wasn't a black person. I was like, wow, he would be just a...
What's the second guess you would have in that vein?
Jewish?
Jewish.
Oh, what? What?
He married a Slavic Jewish immigrant.
But
yes.
He hates them.
But he hates them. He married a woman who was born in Ukraine in Tsarist Russia, who was a Jew, who left the Ukraine because of the persecution that was starting up. She had traveled the world. She was a successful businesswoman in New York City. She was, at the time, quite wealthy.
Did she have a mental illness?
No.
Okay.
So she had previously been in an abusive relationship.
Oh, there it goes. Okay.
She had two children.
And did Lovecraft say that he was a nice guy?
Well, hang on.
Okay. So, all right, I'll let you go.
Her name, I've got so many questions. Good. That's great. So her name was Sonia Green. She was a writer in her own right, but she was also an entrepreneur. I forget. I think she had like a hat shop or something like that in Brooklyn. And she had a previous marriage. She had a son who died in infancy. She had a daughter who she eventually became estranged from. And after she... her husband killed himself. I don't know the circumstances.
No. She killed him and then made it look like...
I kind of wondered that.
Huh?
I kind of, like, every time I hear about an abusive husband, I kind of secretly hope, like, she got him. So she starts writing to Lovecraft, and he started sending her stories. And I really do think they liked each other.
Now, did they like each other like they just sent stories back and forth? Or I feel like it's easier to court someone like online first, like when you're not seeing each other in person, and you can get all the time you need to throw down your witty one-liners and shit. Is that is that kind of what happened here?
Okay. Yeah, a little. Lovecraft compensated for his lack of it. Lovecraft is just a study in posturing overcompensation. Like,
perfect.
He was very Poole constantly uses the word erudite, which is a fancy way of saying he used a bunch of big words to annoy people, and he spoke that way, he wrote that way, but she liked him. After his mother died, he started staying with his aunts, and she came and visited him and his aunts in Providence, and they had been part of a letter-writing group. So the way this would work back in the day is somebody would start the letter chain. So, like, say Sonia writes to Bob. Bob adds to the letter chain, and then Bob forwards both letters to Lovecraft, and then Lovecraft...
So it's the precursor to email chains, then.
Yeah. And then eventually they started writing to each other. And Lovecraft had, like, a lot of backhanded, racist remarks about, like, she didn't like one of his stories, and he said something about how the Slavic mind just can't understand the Teutonic writing. And, he also then was like, but I like her. So she came out to hang out with him, and this is where we get into, you asked me if Lovecraft had syphilis, and I said no. I'm fairly certain he did not. Sonia, after Lovecraft had died many years later, she wrote a brief memoir about her marriage to Lovecraft, which, by the way, lasted 2 years. And she basically says that when it comes to physical intimacy, he thought it was gross. He didn't like it.
Okay.
He didn't ever want to, like, kiss her goodnight. They spent a lot of time apart.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did their relationship last? Did she also not like physical intimacy?
No, it got complicated. So he moves to New York.
It sounds complicated. Right? You're right.
Right. He moves to New York and he likes it for a while because he married this nice rich lady and she has a nice townhouse or whatever in Brooklyn.
Nice rich lady. Does he ever talk about, like, her ethnicity or her religion?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. He talks about her ethnicity and her religion, but he also seems to forget that she's a Jewish Slavic immigrant, because he'll talk to her about how I hesitate to even repeat the things he said on the podcast, lest somebody clip me saying them. Like, he had so many disgusting, racist pejoratives that he would just throw around casually. And he'd say, like, oh, I don't like this group of people, and I don't like this group of people, and I don't like this group of people. I hate these immigrants. And she'd be like, you know, I'm an immigrant, right?
And did he say something like, but you're one of the good ones?
Essentially.
Lovecraft,
like most racist people today do, had this strange utopian imagined past.
The good old days when you had to shit in a hole in the ground.
He imagined the 18th century as this time where gentlemen of leisure could do their intellectual pursuits.
Did he conveniently skip like a decade in the 1800s? Like, you know, 55 to 65? That didn't happen.
This could be apocryphal, but I have no doubt that something like this happened. Lovecraft went to go see a Revolutionary War monument, and it was a monument to the Minutemen. And he made some comment about how they were like traitors. Lovecraft was so conservative, he kind of like cycled back around. Like, conservatives are usually famous for loving their country. Lovecraft cycled back around to thinking it never should have been a country in the first place.
He loved the country that spawned this one. That's
he considered himself in 1920 to be a royalist.
Well, okay. So I guess I have a question for you then.
Yes.
A royalist, H.P. Lovecraft, a guy who's, 120 years out of time? Did that royalist, did he go defend his home, his imagined home country? Because they were in quite a few wars during this time period.
He tried.
Did he?
He did.
Did he go fight Germans or Irish?
He went to the
recruiter.
Is that
recruiter. Why he hated them?
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on.
All right.
He went to the recruiter as World War One was kicking off. And
I'm
he
shocked.
Wanted he wanted to I was actually shocked. He wanted to join the army to go fight in World War One. I have no idea why. His mother she pulled some strings and had him declared medically unfit to serve. And so he never got to go
well, this
fight
is just,
in World
this
War
is I. her interfering with his right to go get shot to death in World War One, which is statistically probably what would have happened. This is at the beginning, like 1914, right? Or did
Yup.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he would
have I think
fucked.
He had no fucking clue what he was getting into. He thought this was going to be one of the like gentleman wars of his, knights and.
Well, a lot of people had that thought until
the howitzer came out.
Yeah, and until people started marching in formation at a machine gun encampment and just getting mowed down.
Yeah, and then the mustard gas finished the rest of them.
War being this great and noble thing. Oh God, that's probably. You know, that's a whole different subject, but it probably is rooted in the small wars that the British Empire committed on natives all over the world.
Mm-hmm. We might have talked about it in Agatha Christie, but like when we talked about Captain Colonialism.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
there was this notion, because I got it all the time from reading Sherlock Holmes, of like, how do all these people have all this money for like servants and stuff, but they don't work. They never go to work. They just hang out and do their hobbies. And nobody, like, who pays Holmes? Why? How do they finance this? Like, Watson was a doctor, I guess, and Holmes got paid sometimes. But anyway, that's the part Lovecraft didn't quite compute, is like, where did they get that money? Oh, they stole it.
To be fair, he didn't have to compute it if he's just been living off of everyone else.
That's basically it.
If you
That's
don't have to worry about your income, it doesn't matter where the money comes from.
After he gets married, right? Things work out for a little while. And then it goes south. Sonia, her business takes a bad turn. She loses the shop. And they have to move out of their nice apartment. And she doesn't really have money to support Lovecraft anymore. And she's kind of like, hey, could you like get a job? And
he's
did he like,
just look at her in bewilderment and go, what? What is this strange foreign concept?
Yeah, I imagine he did not quite take to that. So he basically would go on to ensure that he was unemployable. he wrote like dumbass smarmy application letters, and he got a job as a salesman and he lost it a week later. Nobody's quite sure why or how. And he tried to get a job testing light bulbs that he wrote some flowery introduction letter to. It was a mess. And
testing
the idea,
light bulbs?
It was a different time.
What do you have to do to test a light bulb?
I'm going to guess it was like the 1920s equivalent of like quality assurance. Or he just like taps them like, oh, did the filament come out? No. Okay. This one goes.
This one lights up. Cool.
Yep.
It's another 10,000 of these and I get to go home for the day. Okay.
Yeah. So instead of getting a job, he started hanging out with the bros.
Yeah. Chad and Chaz.
Yeah, a real group of Chads these guys were. So he started hanging out with, I think what they called themselves was the Calum Club.
What? Why? Is it?
It was their initials were KLM. So they called themselves Calum. And what the Calum Club would do was it was a collection of writers of mostly what Lovecraft would call the weird tale. But they came from all different walks of life. They had different styles and different hobbies. And this is going to blow your mind, Nate. One of these guys was a staunch anti-segregationist.
What?
He was white.
Did they yell at him until he shut the fuck up? Like, did they just beat him down mentally until he gave in?
This guy...
Did he have an ulterior motive for his anti-segregation?
No, I think
he actually had good intentions.
He sincerely believed that African Americans should be treated fairly. And he believed it so much that as a protest against segregation, he lived in Harlem.
Did Lovecraft tell him about his cat?
They argued constantly.
Yeah.
Lovecraft.
No shit. Was he still married at the time too?
Yep.
Oh man. Okay.
Lovecraft thought this guy's ideals were hopelessly utopian and blah 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 blah.
You mean dystopian. There's no way he thought that was like the perfect society that we could never hope to achieve.
Lovecraft said you might as well try to integrate Neanderthals into society. He was such an ass. So these guys would all get together and chat and talk and walk around. And basically, this was how Lovecraft, like, ignored his wife. He just wasn't home. He was always hanging out with these dudes.
So she couldn't experience him being a jobless bum.
Oh, she experienced it because she came.
Okay, I just have to, like...
She gave this proud, noble gentleman of leisure an allowance.
All right, so he's a child. Okay, did she make him do chores around the house and like pick up his room? And
I can almost guarantee he most certainly would not.
What a jackass.
So she gets sick, actually. She starts having stomach issues.
Oh, I thought you were just gonna say sick of his bullshit, but okay.
No, she starts having, like, ulcers. Stress-related ulcers.
I'm shocked. I'm flabbergasted.
She goes out to Ohio. They recommend she takes, like, 6 weeks to rest. And so she goes out to Ohio.
Shitty ulcer treatment.
While she's there, she gets a job. She gets a job traveling around, some sort of sales.
And was she like, wow, that was easy to do. Why can't my husband do this?
Oh, well, I guess the other thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about how Lovecraft strove to make himself unemployable, he had a few paying gigs here and there. Like, he did do some writing. This is around the time he started to get really involved with a magazine called Weird Tales, and he was getting a lot of work published, but not in like great magazines, not getting paid a lot, certainly not making enough money to support himself. But at some point, Harry Houdini had made a partnership with one of the magazines that Lovecraft had written some stuff for. And the guy at the magazine was like, I want you to ghostwrite a story for Harry Houdini. And so he teamed up with Harry Houdini and he ghostwrote this story about Harry Houdini being trapped in some Egyptian tomb and having to fight a magic curse or whatever.
So he made some money.
Yeah, he winds up making friends with Harry Houdini.
How? Does he just have an amazing first impression? And like you start hating him afterwards, or how does this work?
I think Lovecraft, honestly, I see the problem for him is the problem for a lot of people who have like really aggressive views, and it's defensive almost. Like, they're so scared all the time that they start preemptively lashing out at the world they feel is trying to attack them. And that is 100% the vibe I get from Lovecraft, that he didn't want his world to change. He was terrified. And so he hated the people he saw as changing it. But he was so delusional about what the past was like and about what his own role in the past would have been, what his own role in modern society was. And to keep that delusion in place, he had to rail and deny anything that contradicted it. And that's why he didn't like immigrants. That's why he didn't want to work. My whole point in telling the Harry Houdini story, though, was to point out that Lovecraft actually had friends who could hook him up with a job. He had at least three people offer him jobs related to the field. Somebody offered him a job cataloging books. Somebody offered him a job doing some like shelf stocking, stuff like that. But it was book adjacent, literature adjacent. And it wasn't good enough for him, and he just never got back to them. He just never answered. Harry Houdini tried to get Lovecraft a job, and he just never got back to him on it.
Was he looking for a reason to be unhappy?
Some of it was probably anxiety. He definitely tried to cultivate an image of himself as a sophisticated gentleman of leisure. And I think he wanted to cultivate that image of himself. He did it both for the benefit of others and for the benefit of himself. This is me editorializing. I think he knew, or at least suspected, that if he got a job, he'd fail. And I think that's why he struggled in school, too. Like, a lot of Lovecraft biographers talk about him being very smart. And while I think Lovecraft definitely had some talent, especially reading at such an early age, a facility with language, he couldn't do math. That was a very famous problem for him. He got as far as he could in chemistry and astronomy, right up until the point where he had to start doing some actual mathematics to go any further, and then he stopped. He was a horrible mathematician, and that's why he could never get into the sciences. And whenever he failed at something, he would play it off. And I think he had deep anxiety. There, as a person with anxiety, I can tell you there is something very daunting about commitment. Very simple commitments would set me off when I was first starting to deal with this, such as enrolling in a class, basically just signing up to be somewhere for an hour at a time. I would obsess over it. It would just drive me nuts. As long as I could do things, as long as I knew I could leave whenever I wanted, and of course I could, like nobody was going to hold me in that desk, but as long as I could do things whenever I wanted, I was okay. But as soon as I started making time commitments, anxiety. And I don't know, like I said, I could be projecting, I shouldn't try to diagnose somebody, but this is the only benefit of the doubt I could possibly give Lovecraft, is that he had a deep-seated anxiety about taking a job that he couldn't talk to anyone about. He couldn't be frank about why he didn't want to do it. So instead, he comes off as a lazy, entitled brat, living off and mooching off people he then, behind their back, says racist things about.
He's a really intelligent man. It's just, he never applied himself. Well, I'm a really good writer, but, you know, I just haven't written any books.
He has his moments. And that's something I want to talk more about when we do talk about his fiction. I've read everything Lovecraft ever wrote, and a lot of it sucks. But the gems, there's a reason they exist. There's a reason he's still known.
Right, there's a reason there's a shitload of like games and stuff based on his work.
His work reveals, you'll see when we start reading it. And I'll try to point out, we're only going to read a handful of his stories. I'll try to point out at which stage of his life he wrote each story, but his work stands out, and if I had to guess, I would say the reason he manages to cross so many cultural boundaries with his work that he couldn't seem to cross in his own life is that his work is an encapsulated, like, nihilism. He sort of taps into the same kind of emotional inner workings that Rick and Morty does.
Does it also help that that was popular around this time? Maybe?
Yes.
After World War I.
His wife was actually the one who introduced him to Nietzsche. And
good.
I think that's where... When you read Lovecraft's work, basically the gist of every one of his tales is we're all screwed. There are forces in this universe that are just so utterly beyond our comprehension. We are temporary, insignificant things that don't matter, and the things we care about are irrelevant, and there's just something so much greater than us out there, and it doesn't give a shit about us. And though his work is racist, everyone dies in the end. Like that's basically a kind of strange equality he brings to bear. His protagonists are almost always New England gentlemen who despise the degenerates of the world, but they die too.
Okay.
He bought into this idea very, very early on. There's a book. There's an old book. It's called the witch cult in Europe, and it's this anthropologist wrote something called like the witch cult in Europe about ancient pagan fertility cults that survived the Christian conquest of Europe in secret.
Okay.
It was total bullshit. She basically just made it up. She had no evidence to support her claim that there were practicing secret pagan fertility cults. But Lovecraft read this book, and it was a book he recommended to others as well. And he accepted it wholly as fact.
As you do.
He believed that there were actually ancient cults.
Did he really believe, or did he want to believe?
I think he truly believed this. Because, like I said, he never sought out any interaction with the type of people he decided to make these sweeping judgments about.
Except for his wife and some of his friends.
Except for his wife, yes. It's such a strange contradiction in Lovecraft. I actually have, like... Here's a list of contradictions I made for Lovecraft. Hates foreigners, loves Rome. Specifically hates Italians, but loves Rome.
Okay.
He hates sex. He also is adamantly against censorship.
What?
Lovecraft would...
He sounds like the kind of guy who would go to like a book burning.
No, absolutely not.
Wow.
He hated censorship.
Wow.
Censorship of any kind he despised.
Did he ever have any sort of recorded debate?
Oh, God, no. No.
I just want to hear him defend these claims because they're so contradictory. Okay, keep going, though. Keep going. Don't let me interrupt you.
He loves New England. He fetishizes New England. If he ever had sexual feelings for anything in his life, it was New England. He also hates Puritans.
Okay.
He hates everyone who founded New England.
And wishes that it were...
He hates the Pilgrims.
It were still under Puritans. British rule.
He hates... He seems to despise the idea of degenerate witch cults, but he also...
Huh?
But he also hates the Christians who burned them.
What? Okay. All right.
Here's the thing about Lovecraft that, as far as I can tell, nobody has ever written about Lovecraft. He's an idiot.
Ben, no, he's a very smart and talented man. Well, I guess I shouldn't say talented sarcastically, because it sounds like he probably has some talent. But Ben, no, he's a very smart man. He could have gotten into Brown if he only had the help.
All he did was ride his bike around New England, and then walk around New England.
My envisioning of Lovecraft as a man who does not get exercise.
Lovecraft? Oh, you couldn't be more wrong, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Lovecraft walked and cycled obsessively. When Lovecraft was in New York, he often would not come home before sunrise. He just would walk around the city all night. And he cycled constantly. He was completely obsessed with what he called antiquities. He sought out any old buildings, architecture, monuments, statues, whatever.
That's shocking. Was he pale as hell?
Probably because he did only go out at night.
Okay. All right. This makes sense.
He went out during the day sometimes, and he did take... So one of the stories we're going to read is The Shadow Over Innsmouth, and that is based on Lovecraft's own travels. The main protagonist, he winds up in Innsmouth because he's touring around to try to see all the fancy architecture of New England. He winds up in Innsmouth because he couldn't afford the more expensive bus that goes around Innsmouth. And that is right out of H.P. Lovecraft's own travels.
Do you have anything else you want to say on this? Or can we go back to his wife? Because I want to hear more about that. So she went to Ohio. She was told to rest because of her ulcers. Where do we go from there? Because you said that they're only married for 2 years, so it's got to come to an end sooner or later, right?
Yeah, so this was at most a year and a half into their marriage that she goes to Ohio, gets a job, and doesn't come back to New York. Lovecraft...
Is that the old equivalent of I'm going to the store for some milk or cigarettes?
No, Nate, because...
Okay.
She continues to give him an allowance.
Why? Now I'm starting to wonder, what's her deal? Why is she picking him? Did she have another husband?
She does eventually remarry, but no, she's not cheating on him.
Well, I didn't think she was cheating on him. I think that she has something going on that she picks an abusive asshole and a whatever the fuck you even want to classify as Lovecraft. Those are her two husbands so far. So what is... She's the common denominator here. What's going on? Why is she picked and gravitate to...
Well, I think Lovecraft was kind of like the naive puppy. She's also like 10 years older than Lovecraft.
That's a little weird.
Not at the time.
Like, no, I mean, it's weird that why him? Why?
Honestly, I think she just thought he would grow to be more...
Oh, don't marry someone expecting them to change. What the fuck?
I think she thought he would become less distant.
So she's still giving him an allowance from Ohio.
And he moves out of their shared apartment. He takes a studio apartment in Red Hook, which I think is a neighborhood within Brooklyn. I don't know New York City neighborhoods, especially back then. One of the stories we are going to read references Lovecraft's time in New York, and I think you're going to laugh at it. But he moves into Red Hook, and he hates it, because it's a relatively poor neighborhood, because despite what Lovecraft thinks of himself, he's poor.
I just love the way you said that.
If you want to talk about white privilege, I think Lovecraft... would agree that he has white privilege and that he should. He should just be given money because he's white. He wanted to be kept like a stud for his valuable genes. I have no idea. But he didn't want to have sex. But I don't know. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. I don't know how he rationalized it to himself. But he lives in this apartment for a while. She doesn't send him a lot of money. She kind of only sends him enough money to barely cover rent. I think she was probably trying not to make it too comfortable for him so that he would have to get a job, which he did not. No,
it didn't work.
he is.
Her master plan failed.
Lovecraft starts writing to his aunts, dropping hints that he would like to come home. Lovecraft's friends also wrote to Lovecraft's aunts, expressing expressing concern.
Please get rid of him.
Well, no, they were afraid he was going to kill himself because I guess he was not doing well. And so eventually they do agree to bring Howard home. And that's basically the end of the marriage. On the subject of his sexuality, there's a theory that Lovecraft was gay.
What?
So two of Lovecraft's closest friends were young men. Whether or not Lovecraft ever had a romantic relationship with either of these men, the person he was probably closest to towards the end of his life was a guy named Barlow. Barlow was much younger than Lovecraft, but Lovecraft visited him all the time. And eventually, Lovecraft, before he died, offered Barlow like first pick of all his books and literature and all that stuff. When he died, Barlow was informed, and Barlow was absolutely distraught. And he tried to get there before Lovecraft died, but he arrived like 3 days after Lovecraft was buried.
Is that normal back then? I mean, I guess they don't have cars and planes.
They did have cars. He was traveling from Kansas.
I guess it would be 1937. Okay, fair enough. I keep thinking we're at the turn of the century, but no, he aged.
He was traveling from Kansas to Providence, and it took him a couple days to get there. But there's another guy named Derleth. So Barlow was basically Lovecraft's best friend, but Derleth, when Lovecraft died, he basically was like, people need to know about him. We need to save Lovecraft's reputation. And this is where I mentioned at the beginning that you don't quite know how right you are about his more business-minded friends. Derleth was a prolific writer. He wrote just tons and tons of crap. But he was a great businessman, and he went in with a friend to found Arkham House Publishing, and without anyone's permission, or even considering for a moment that he needed permission, he started printing Lovecraft stories. And they'd gotten together a bunch of, like, all of Lovecraft's manuscripts and stuff, and Barlow had donated a bunch of things to museums, he had typed up some of Lovecraft's stories for publication. But Derleth decided that he was the official Lovecraft publisher, and he published Lovecraft and marketed it very aggressively. Derleth's publication efforts are probably the reason we know about Lovecraft today.
Okay.
Derleth is also the one who coined the term Cthulhu Mythos, which is what we typically refer to Lovecraft's mythos as.
Right.
Lovecraft never called it that. Lovecraft probably did not set out to create a mythos. Much of Derleth saying that he did related to Derleth trying to sell more work. So Derleth...
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like Lovecraft had a say or could argue, though. He was in the ground.
Derleth claimed to have found numerous notes and ideas.
Ah, telling him that there were more Dune books he needed to write.
I was going
to
say, we've heard this many times before, and from more than just Dune.
Oh, I found these notes that tell me that there's more. No, you can't see them.
But he went a step further than Brian Herbert. Derleth claimed to have found the notes, and he published new books written. He co-authored it with H.P. Lovecraft, giving people the impression that it was a Lovecraft story that Derleth had just like punched up, when in fact it was almost an entire fabrication of Derleth's.
He's using that name recognition.
There's another problem. Derleth is a Christian, and he brings a lot of good and evil dichotomy into his Cthulhu mythos extended universe, whatever.
Right, when everyone is just pointless.
Which is exactly the opposite of everything Lovecraft ever wanted. You might be getting the impression at this point that he's kind of a jerk.
But a smart businessman. So yeah, a jerk, actually. But I feel like that's an archetype.
Derleth reached out and threatened both Barlow and Sonia Green, Lovecraft's ex-wife, that neither of them could print anything Lovecraft-related without his permission, or he would sue them.
On what legal authority?
None. He had no basis.
I think that my response would be, Well, I wasn't going to, but now that you're threatening, like, fuck you. I'm gonna print all the Lovecraft stories I can find, you jackass.
He went so far as to say that Sonya Green could not publish her memoir unless he approved it. Because he told her that he had letters from Lovecraft, and he knew what really happened in that marriage, and he didn't want her saying anything. And
prove it.
That's what she said.
So it sounds like she had a good head on her shoulders.
Sonya, here's the thing. She did write her memoir about Lovecraft, and I haven't read it, but from everything I can I've heard about it, she was exceedingly kind to him. Like, she didn't actually have that much bad to say about Lovecraft. It seems that her, like, the what she got from the marriage was that she married a guy who just didn't want to be married. He didn't, you know, aside from his overt racism, he didn't treat her badly. He wasn't mean to her. He just wasn't affectionate. He was distant, and he didn't want to be in a relationship with her. And that was it. That was as bad as it got. But Derleth, I think, there's a lot of people who argue that Derleth was terrified that she might say something that pointed to Lovecraft being gay, which this was all now happening in the 40s and 50s. That would have been a big deal.
Right. Well, shit, it's a big deal now still.
Sadly, yes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But there was also a very concentrated effort by Derleth and company to suppress Lovecraft's racist rant letters. Lovecraft exchanged numerous letters with the guy who wrote Conan the Barbarian, and it was basically just a gush fest of how much they hated minorities.
Wow.
Yeah.
So modern 4chan. It is nice to hear that this isn't a modern thing. Humans have been pretty much the worst since forever. So
this was the thing I kept thinking when I was reading Poole's book, is he compares Lovecraft to modern cultural things. Like, he asks the questions like, would Lovecraft have liked Dungeons and Dragons? Who the fuck cares? I want to know how much Lovecraft would have liked 4chan.
First of all, he would have thrived on 4chan. But Dungeons and Dragons?
Well,
that's what he chose to write about?
He asked that question because Poole makes the argument that second only to Tolkien, Lovecraft influenced Dungeons and Dragons the most.
And did they come to the conclusion he would have hated it?
No.
What? Bullshit.
Lovecraft actually played crude versions of tabletop games. Lovecraft, he reminds me in a lot of ways of a lot of, like, this is as good a time as any to get into this argument. So we've discussed Lovecraft's blatant racism, his bigotry, his hatred of everything, and his own mental health sort of contributing to a distorted worldview and ignorant opinions. There's an argument among Lovecraft circles that, yes, these are horrible things. We cannot defend what he said or what he did. They are disgusting ideas. But he's a product of his time. A lot of people had disgusting ideas.
Well, hold on. A product of his time.
Yes.
It sounds like even for the time, he was maybe a few decades, if not centuries, behind.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm glad we're in agreement with that.
I would say to anyone who wants to make the argument that Lovecraft was a product of his time, we can imagine a total alternate history where Lovecraft is basically an entirely different person. If he had an entirely different set of influences, an entirely different history, an entirely different family life. But that's going a bit far, I think. I think Lovecraft had the opportunities to change his ways of thinking. Many people tried to change his ways of thinking. Many people tried to talk him out of his racism, not the least of which his Jewish immigrant wife. And so the fact that he stubbornly persisted in his beliefs, I'm going to go ahead and say no. This is more than just being a product of his time. This is a willful rejection of any sort of progressive ideas or human equality. Lovecraft rejected Lovecraft rejected current scientific thought on race. Lovecraft rejected current progressive social platforms, even though towards the end of his life he described himself as a socialist. He was just...
What?
Yeah. Well, what? he was a socialist because he was a fucking mooch.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair.
But that's my point, is his problems with other people and with bigotry, they came from a deep conflict within himself. I can't say what he thought. I never spoke to the man. We'll never know what he honestly thought. He is a human being with flaws and faults and problems and a real struggle with mental illness, and that contributed heavily to it. But there's a saying I'm fond of that, you know, your mental illness, your circumstances, these things aren't your fault, but they are your responsibility. Lovecraft still carries the weight of his actions and the things he said. He just does. We cannot sweep it aside or hand wave it away by saying, well, a lot of people were racist back then. Lovecraft went the extra mile. And the other thing I would say, if you still doubt me on that, after his death, Lovecraft's work was basically salvaged by his friends, who made a special effort to publish the things he couldn't be asked to type. They knew what he looked like if you read his letters. His friends purposefully suppressed some of his most racist rants, and they purposely cultivated a different reputation for Lovecraft. Arkham House Publishing, which is the company made by his friends to publish his work after his death, Arkham House Publishing did so much PR work to massage his reputation after he died. They published a fictional novel of H.P. Lovecraft being, like, recruited by the U.S. government to stop the Nazis or some shit. Like,
what?
Yeah, it was pulp nonsense, but they knew. People,
like, was that a non-fictional thing?
No, it was fictional. It was fictional. But they were trying to make him like this cuddly mascot, and he was just a dick. That's all there was to it. My closing thought on Lovecraft is basically there are mitigating circumstances for why he might have been the way he was. But in my personal opinion, I don't feel that they excuse his behavior while he was alive. I don't feel that they excuse the opinions he held or the things he said. And yet, his work is still immensely popular among the very communities that he hated and disparaged. So while we read our next couple, I won't say books, but while we read our next couple stories, we're going to keep that in mind. And we're going to try to understand why these stories appeal to people these days, even though many of them are going to have bigoted overtones. And I just think when you read Lovecraft, that's something you've got to keep in mind. And I wanted to do this episode to get that out of the way, to get my own thoughts on the subject up front and very clear before we contribute to the glamorization of this man who, though his work may be interesting, does not personally deserve to be glamorized. Nate, any thoughts? Any final questions?
Oh, I'm sure I'll have some. When we start going over.
Okay, so I've picked several Lovecraft stories for Nate to read. I will go over my reasons for picking each as we discuss them.
This will be every week of October.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. I'm going to do this every October, goddammit. I'm going to pick an author and just horror the fuck out for October. This is my thing.
Okay.
So.
I'm holding you to that.
I think, what do you want to read first? Shadow Over Innsmouth or Mountains of Madness?
You pick.
Okay, I will. So, to give you guys a heads up, I'll just tell you everything I've picked for this month. We're going to try to stay away from some of the... We're not going to read The Call of Cthulhu. Everybody reads The Call of Cthulhu. We're going to read The Shadow Over Innsmouth, At the Mountains of Madness, Pikmin's Model, and Cool Air. Now, Pikmin's Model and Cool Air are both short stories. I think they might be... They're definitely under 30 pages. We're going to cover those both in the same episode, but the next episode we do is going to be The Shadow Over Innsmouth. That is about novella length, so you might want to get a good head start on that. And then we'll do Mountains of Madness, and then we'll do the two short stories, and that'll close out October. Yeah, I suppose that's it for this episode of Words About Books, Deep in the Crease on H.P. Lovecraft. Maybe one day we'll do a Deep in the Crease on an author we like.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid. It wouldn't be as much fun. So with that in mind, please check out our blog for additional show notes and commentary. That is blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja. You can check out our own writing at poorlywritten.ninja. You can follow us on Twitter at WABpod. And please don't forget the last one, Goodreads. Please don't forget to join our Goodreads group, Oops. Words About Book Podcast. Nate, by the way, I cannot help but notice you have not joined the Goodreads group.
Whoops.
All right, guys. We will see you next time.
Robble, robble.
What's the second guess you would have in that vein?
Is she like Irish?
No, worse.
Worse.
Well, no, worse. Well, worse. Worse to. Worse to Lovecraft.
Fuck
so
them.
Well, here's
God,
the thing.
Jesus,
Nate, you got to keep in mind is this was not the best time to be a woman. Most of history.
You don't say. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No, we have an amazing democratic system that only elects the brightest and the most capable, Ben.
It only elects the brightest and the most capable.